I've entitled this sermon today, folks, The Fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear God? We live in a world today where there's fearlessness. People don't want to know about God. They don't want to know about Christ. They don't want to know about church. They don't want to know about salvation largely. What does it mean to fear God? Well, it means to know God, to love God, to care about the things that God cares about, to compassion, but also to know what it is to be chastened for our sin. What does chastened mean? That's what it means. Told off, pulled into line, reined in. That's what it means. You see, to fear God is to comprehend God's awesomeness, His holiness by comparison to our thorough and complete unworthiness, folks. And not only our unworthiness, but our unholy and uncouth behavior, the things that we ought to be that we're not, and the person that we ought to be that we never are. You see, to fear God is to live out a life of reasonable service for Christ. That's what it is. It's to give it all to Him, not just the bits you want to give, not just the half-baked stuff, not just the second-hand goods. That's not what God deserves. That's not what God needs, folks. But God wants all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what God wants. Because you see, to fear God is to know God and to follow Christ. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's three things I want to leave with you today. Verses 1 and 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. What does that talk about? Fear that furnishes our hearts. Fear that encourages us. Fear that challenges us, folks. Furnishes our hearts. It facilitates development amongst us. The proverb writer says, if you receive words, if you treasure up commands, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you incline your heart to understand. Here's all of these descriptive phrases. Words and commands and instructions that shape us. Everybody will know here that your parents maybe gave you commands in years past. Your your family members said, now, a bit of advice for you. And when we're young, sometimes we think the world's our oyster and that we know everything. And we don't need to learn. And we don't need to live to those daggy parents who have been round the block a couple of times and who are not really worth listening to because they don't know as much as I know. That's what we do as young people, all of us. Do this, and I've been there as well. You don't really listen. You don't really receive. You don't really treasure up. You don't really make your ear attentive. You don't really incline your heart to what your parents have to say. And if you don't do that, how are you ever going to do it with God's word? Fear that furnishes our hearts needs to facilitate development within us. We need to be listening to God. We need to be following God's commands. We need to be listening to His instructions, folks, and then doing something with them so that they might shape us and help us to develop as spiritual believers. That's what we need to be. Notice how the proverb writer starts off with that wonderful phrase, my son. My son. So there's a term of endearment, there's a term of belonging, there's a term of being in a family. And when we're in our families, we should listen to what our families have to say. We should listen to the words and the commands and the instructions. Not only do we have fear that furnishes our hearts and facilitates development within us, but it also dispels any sort of fallacy that's out there. Because we all think we're self-sufficient. We all think that we know better. And there are many fallacies in the world, folks. There are many words out there. There are many commandments out there. There are many things that we can make our ears attentive to. There are many things that we incline our hearts towards. But they're not good for you. They're falsehoods. They're fallacies. But what does God's word do? God's word dispels the darkness. It deals with the difficulty. And it bats out of the park, folks, all the falsehood that's out in the world. That's exactly what it does. And God's word is a shield to the belief that we are self-sufficient. How did you ever get here in the first place? Well, you say, well, my parents had me and their parents had them. And that's right, but how did they ever get there? So by God's will. And God's word is a shield to help us realize that we're not self-sufficient, folks. Because when we receive God's word and we listen to his treasure up his commands and we're attentive to his word and to making our ears clued in and inclining our hearts to understanding what is the outcome of all of that. Well, it facilitates development, it dispels all the fallacies and the falsehoods out in the world, and it also establishes what I've described as faculty. It gives you a brain, folks. It gives you some sanctified common sense. Have you ever heard the old phrase, they've loads of brains but no common sense? Is any amount of that going on? People have information coming out of their earlobes. But when it comes to using their sanctified common sense, that's out the window completely. You see, as we grow in Christ, we learn more about him, and we learn more about ourselves as well at the same time. And therefore, if we really want to be in the family of God, if we really want to follow Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength, then we must receive God's word, that we must treasure up his commandments and his word, that we must make our ears attentive to his calling to us, and we must incline our hearts to understanding the word of God. Because that's what gets you through, folks. It's not being self-sufficient, it's not doing your own thing, it's not being the person you think you ought to be. It's not dressed up on a Sunday morning and coming here and looking respectable, it's not about any of that. It's about knowing and loving the Saviour. That's the bottom line of it all. None of the rest will suffice. Fear that furnishes our hearts. The second thing we see in verses 3 and 4 is fear that focuses our intentions. Yes, if you call out for insight and you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek like it for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure or gold. You see, when we fear the Lord, when we follow the Lord, when we love the Lord, our intentions will be focused away from the world and from all the things that the world seeks to offer to us. And what does that focus our intentions upon? Well, God's word quenches the famine in our lives. You see, when we cry out to God, when we call out to God for his gifts, for his blessing, for his help, for his support, for his backbone that he gives to us, when we call out to him for those things, it takes away the famine in our lives, the spiritual famine. And we live in a world that's full of spiritual famine. Might be able to use the phrase, something along these lines, that in recent times with online services and all this sort of type of stuff, the gospel has had more exposure than many another time. And yes, that is correct. And I think if you were to talk to many ministers, they maybe thought that at the beginning of all the stuff that we've had to go through this last 2 years, that people would start to think. And some have. But the majority haven't. And you know, the sad thing is that most of them are not blind but interested. Some of the folks from Kilnady and Swatland, some friends from Belfast, we did a Holy Bible Club recently for 3 nights in a city mission hall in the Shankill Road. And the first night when we opened the doors, there were no kids came at all. None. So 15 minutes into the club, I sent them right out the street, knocking doors. There was 8 wains the first night. The second night we had 14. The next night we had 18. And the night that it was finished, there was 20 of them landed outside the gate during their gospel meeting on a Thursday evening. People had got leaflets through their letterboxes. Myself and a former colleague in the mission had been out on the Friday beforehand to knock doors and chat to people and to do postmen as well. But it took a while for the appetite to rise. And a community that has over maybe 4,000 to 6,000 people living in it, there were 18 children came to that Holy Bible Club. That says everything in my book. There's a famine, folks. And a famine that only the Word of God can quench. That famine in our lives that only the Word of God can quench, that Word of God also undermines familiarity. It's very easy to get familiar. It's very easy to get comfortable. It's very easy to sit back and go, that's somebody else's job, not mine. And if we're meant to be a family, it's everybody's job. Not just two or three people, not just the elders, although they're an oversight, but it's everybody's job. And we're always calling out for more help. You need help with this and help with that. And everybody has busy lives, families and all manner of things. I'm not knocking that at all. It's easy for me because I'm living a house of my own. I talk to the ceiling. I don't have three wains to get out to school or a mortgage to pay or any of those sort of type of things. And I'm fully aware of that, but it's all of our jobs, and we can become so very familiar, folks. Because insight and understanding of the Word of God then reforms us in our walk with God. If you call out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding, there's something not passive about this, but something completely and thoroughly active. Seeking, calling, raising your voice, searching. God's word just doesn't come to us naturally, folks, because the natural man and woman is inclined to worldliness and towards sin and towards the fallacies of this world. And that fear that focuses our intentions not only quenches famine and undermines the familiarity that we can sink into, but it also engenders amongst us fellowship, sweet and precious assembly in Christ. Because when we call out, when we raise our voice, when we seek for it and we search for it, it becomes silver and hidden treasure to us. See, that's the blessings of the Word of God. It's a hidden treasure that's revealed through the mode of preaching. It's a blessing in Christ that we receive whenever we recognize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what all of us needs, folks. That's what you need. And that's what I need. Fear that furnishes our hearts, fear that focuses our intentions. And then beyond that, what does fear do? First, well, it fortifies our walk with God. It gives you backbone, folks. The late Dr. I.R.K. Paisley said on one occasion with a big loud voice, as everybody can remember, that W.P. Nicholson, when he was doing his crusades in Belfast, prayed for Paisley that he would have a backbone like a crowbar and a hide like a rhinoceros. And that's what I pray for every day, that I have a backbone like a crowbar and a hide like a rhinoceros to get through all the things that you face in your life and in ministry. But when we fear the Lord enables us to walk with him. He fortifies our walk. He strengthens our spiritual life and vitality, which encourages within us faithfulness to him. Verse 5 and 6, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth come understanding and knowledge. You see, we need to work at understanding. We need to work at persevering. The Christian walk, folks, is just not a walk in the park. It's not like a sail along the road. It's tough, it's hard, it's difficult. And let's just say if it was child's play, there'd be a load of people who would be Christians, who would be saved, because it would seem so very easy. But God encourages within us in our walk faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful to him, and we need to work at that. I've been playing an accordion band for the last year and a half, maybe a wee bit longer than that, and it's great. It takes your mind away from church and all the stuff that you have to do, and it's good crack as well. And you go to band practice, and some of them, when they get started, I mean, it makes me realise why I'm not married, let's put it like that. But anyway, it's good in some senses, it tells you something. But you had to work at that. There's people in here playing bands and different things. You had to practice, and you need to be there, and there's no point to have one foot in and one foot out of it. You need to work at it. You need to be understanding about it. You need to persevere in it. And it goes the same for a Christian walk. God wants us to be faithful to him. People say, you know, that we need to be fruitful, and yes, we do. We need to be. But the first and foremost thing is faithfulness to God, because that faithfulness then produces fruitfulness. You see, to know and to walk with God bears within us a harvest. You'll see the harvest. Because when you fear the Lord, you will understand. When you know God, you will know him. When you know and understand, then the Lord will give you the wisdom that you need. He'll give you the sanctified common sense that you need to live your life this side of eternity in preparation for eternity future. And that faithfulness and that fruitfulness that comes from knowing and loving the Savior then leaves fulsomeness. Fulsomeness in Christ. Fulsomeness in eternity. Fulsomeness not in self. You see, wisdom leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to understanding. Do you fear God today? Do you know where you're going today if you were to leave this room, leave this meeting house and down like a ton of bricks? Do you know where you're going to? God forbid that. Are you ready to meet the Savior if he was to come tonight and call you? Because if you're not, it's time to start fearing the Lord, folks. Because eternity's a long time. And better than that, it's a long time without Christ. To fear the Lord is to know the love, care, compassion, and chastening of God the Father for sin. It's time to turn. It's time to respond. God's word always wants a response. And if you haven't responded to the word of God as yet, it's time to do it now. It's time to repent. It's time to turn from your sin. And it's time to put Christ first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've spent today. Thank you, Lord, for your continued grace towards us. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, we will have been challenged in our hearts and our minds and our lives not to put it off. Not to say next week, next month, next year, when I'm older, when my bank balance is bigger, whenever I've got the kids reared. Lord, not to say those things, but to get things sorted out with Christ now. And Lord, we commit this congregation of people to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close today by singing I'm Pressing.